Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what you get.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Hey!
How's
look at
Hawaii?
Him drawing. Awesome. Shut up. We're going to talk about that in the show. Before we begin, sponsor mentions and some of our great supporters, Scratch Labs, everybody from Simple Sources of Fuel Ideas, like potatoes and rice cakes. Paul's telling me that story. But I hear it on another show, one of the escape shows or something.
Yeah,
like
that. It was Escape Collective.
Yeah. To rice cakes, to the modern high-carb fuel options that they produce today. Scratch keeps you going, easy on the gut, and tastes brilliant. Be sure to see. That was a hard sentence for me. But it rhymed. Be sure to see all that Scratch has to offer today. Next, Muck Off. The finest in care for your finest possessions. That's right. You must care for your bikes or they will not only look badly but perform badly. Muck Off makes it so easy. From tubeless setup to lube and cleaning tools and liquids. Liquids. Muck Off will keep things rolling so smoothly. I had a horrible visual in my head. Get over to the website today by using a link at packfiller.com and get 15% off your first order today. And finally, NordVPN. NordVPN is on board with Packfiller. Trick the internet into allowing you to watch all the racing online with safe, secure, consistent VPN connection. Trust us, we all are NordVPN believers here. Use our link at Packfiller to get started. Do it because Milan-San Remo is this weekend, and you do not want to miss on all the commentators trying to make the first 4 hours interesting. Because it is a snooze fest, man. The first, is it four? It might be. We'll get to the race coverage here, but it's long.
Yeah, well, I think the TV coverage starts at 1:30 our time, and I think it finishes around 8:30.
And you'll be up.
Not at one. If that was Paris-Roubaix.
Okay. Well, now that Americans are at the pointy end of bike races, you might just be listening to this show for the first time. And if that is indeed the case, welcome. You have found the longest running cycling podcast out there and very likely and hopefully one of the funniest or at least one of the most beer fueled. This is the Packfiller Cycling Podcast. We are live from the Rimbreak Bar on our YouTube channel as well as packfiller.com. I am your humble yet sore-shouldered host, Pat Bulger. You know what?
How's that going?
I'll get to it in a second. Remind me before I get through the intro. But let's jump right into it as we have plenty to cover the next 90 minutes. Tonight's prologue question for the panel is as follows. What is your favorite animated movie? Animated movie. Full-length, feature-length animated movie. All right? First off, he's starting to perfect the art of self-deprecation when it comes to cycling fitness. Mr. Paul Maine, you have been so hard on yourself lately.
Because I'm so out of shape.
It's such bullshit.
I'm terrible.
You're just saying that because I kind of kept up, but he's doing it to make me feel like, oh, I suck, so you must suck worse.
No. You were talking, and I was breathing through my
bullshit.
Ass.
I was like, it was all monosyllabic. How are you, and what is your favorite animated movie?
The Triplets of Belleville.
I started that the other day. I couldn't get into it. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Very interesting choice.
Not much dialogue.
No. And some music. Strange music and, yeah. And women, old women eating boiled frogs.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
It's a cycling
It is. Oh, it's very cycling. Yeah.
And it won an Academy Award for best foreign film.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's an artwork. It's an art film.
I like some of those, like Mr. Hulet. I think it's Hulet, a holiday that was done in the 40s. And it was like no dialogue.
You're so Euro.
He's cool.
Well, that was in my intro to theater class, and we had to watch it. And then it's Mon Oncle or whatever it's called.
He did another one.
He's a French comedian that didn't need dialogue. He did a lot of like Buster Keaton type stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right, next, he's starting to perfect the art of spring training camps, Mr. Sam Waples.
You know, bastard. I'm booked out for the next 2 years, too.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're going for the next two.
Did you get your teeth whitened, too?
You said you weren't going back.
I know. I was supposed to go back, and then we were there, and they were like, well, we have the same place next year, and it took all of 30-second convincing. Ken's like, I'm going to have to check with Sam, and they're like... Okay, Sam's going to say no.
Wow. Week of just fun and writing.
Almost 2 weeks. 12 days.
Holy shit. We're going to get to that too.
Son of a bitch.
Next, he's starting to perfect the art of cut-rate medical advice. Dr. David Waples, you said it yourself in a text today. You know, what do I have but cut-rate medical advice?
It's true.
It is.
I would like to reframe it as medical advice from your doctor friend.
There we go.
Not your doctor.
Yeah, not your doctor.
Not your doctor friend. Yes. Yeah. Good point. Do not hold me
accountable for any knowledge that I am providing on this podcast.
Yes, exactly. Sam, what was your favorite animated movie?
Anything Pixar, I'd probably say Up. That'll make you cry. That'll make you feel things all within the first 5 minutes is a good one.
First 5 minutes is the saddest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, probably the most animated movie I've watched is like Swan Princess, though. Love that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was when I was a child.
Inside Story?
Okay. It's just a movie I watched probably every day when I was a child until I was like 10. I don't know.
I wouldn't pick you as a Swan Princess guy.
That's not even like a Disney movie. That's like a rip-off Disney movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's bad.
David, what's your favorite animated movie?
Man, the one that comes to mind, I think it's because there's no words and it's like kind of like an adventure. It's do you remember Wallace and Gromit?
Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, Wallace would be a good one too. But Wallace and Gromit, you know, it's like love cheese, go on the moon, love the moon. You know, rockets, that sounds cool. He's got dogs.
Cool gizmos.
Gizmos, no words really, love it.
Yeah.
All imagination.
Yeah, that was good.
That was, yeah.
Doesn't one of them speak English though?
No, they speak. It's just not a lot of speaking.
Okay. Right, yeah. Okay. It's like very minimal amount of...
Like the dog. Wallace is thinking. Talking.
Yeah. Minimal thinking.
Talk. Yeah, that too.
And they're also pretty short.
Yeah, I like the whole series.
It has nothing to do with height. Okay, don't be so harsh on your brother.
Good Lord.
Jesus.
You heightist. Prick.
He has the mic right now.
Heightist. Next, he is starting to perfect the art... I don't know what you're perfecting the art of. I couldn't come up with anything. I was going to say facial hair, but that's mean because you've curated your facial hair.
No, his hair on his head has really, really come into a piece in this last 6 months.
Well, I appreciate that.
God.
It's, you know, I've changed hairdressers.
Yeah.
It's been great.
It shows.
Look how arrow he is.
Is it tough changing hairdressers?
You know, I find at first that it is a little bit.
Do I get nervous? Yeah, about it. Like you go to somebody new. Like that's.
I mean, I've spoken pretty openly about how I have anxiety. So yeah, it's a pretty stressful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow.
But then, like now, I'm very fine.
A trust built.
Yeah, I'm very fine. Yeah. Like just talking to her. Like
God, that's real.
My first cuts usually when I go to somebody like that, I end up walking out of there looking like a 70-year-old businessman. It's like my hair's kind of coiffed. It's kind of bigger. I look like I should be selling you a house.
Well, I noticed that when I go to a hairdresser, I've always been a very like vain is a word.
Vain is a word.
Or just like
but you're the good way.
You're
very good vein.
I'm very conscious about my appearance.
Yeah.
And so, like, I am very specific about what I like in a haircut. So I have to go to a hairdresser rather than a barber. Because there is a difference.
I go to somebody new every time so that I never
Whoever is it, super cuts.
No, whoever won't talk. Because if you go to the same person over and over, they're going to want to know about you. They're going to want to talk to you.
I talk to people all day.
I want you to cut my hair in silence, and that's it.
That's why I stopped going to people. I just cut my own hair. It's not worth it.
So you go to those places where they're like, oh, we got you on file. You're a number two on the sides and a number six on top, kind of a thing like that.
By the time I'm on file, I'm out. I'm finding a new one. Yeah, because mm-hmm. Wow. they're going to try to talk to me. Mm.
Some kind of a, he's living a life like a criminal or something like that.
I totally get that. I started cutting my own hair because I was like, this is taking far too long. This should take 15 minutes.
I go to the same stylist Jackson does, and she takes a while, but that's because it's an engaging conversation.
And it's worth it, I will say. The hairdresser I went to before was very much like, it was in and out. Great haircut, but, you know, a little inconsistent sometimes. This time, boom, every time.
Yeah.
Anyways, my favorite anime.
Favorite animated movie.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I was almost going to say that one. That's a great choice.
That is a beautiful film.
Love the first one. Like, obsessed with the second
one. I haven't seen the second.
Well, we have it on our... I have it on my Apple TV.
Okay.
So, it's very, very good. Okay. I really liked it. And it was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah. So, I picked it, but it didn't win.
Yeah. That's because it's my favorite of the two.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Me, I'm starting to perfect the art of training hard until spring and then basically sucking the entire summer. Nice. I do that really well. Yeah. My winters and spring are dialed.
Yeah.
Nice weather gets here, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
And then I get to summer and I'm like, why am I not fast?
And then fall comes, like, I'm going to be really prepared this year.
I'm going to kick ass. And I just dial. Yeah, exactly. My favorite animated movie is honestly, it's The Incredibles.
I've always loved The Incredibles. Pixar.
Has a tie to Spokane.
Yeah.
Because the man who voiced Mr. Incredible is from Spokane.
Huh.
What's his name again?
Coach, too.
Yeah. Went to the same high school as me.
Mm-hmm. I used to yell, where's my super suit, every time I put on a long sleeve skin suit.
Where's my super suit?
You tell me where that suit is.
Woman,
where's my super suit?
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, there you go.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yep.
I kept thinking you were looking at your phone for that, but you're looking at GU scores.
Yes.
I'm impressed that you're here, by the way. So this is.
Well, I don't have tickets in Las Vegas.
That's
true.
Is it
WCC final?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
See you tomorrow, everybody. No, gentlemen, before we get into detail, how many training days? Not the detail of the training days. How many training days have you had over the past week? You want to go first, Hula Boy?
I didn't get as many last week, actually, because of bad weather. So I did. I had to miss because it was like crazy windy or raining.
Oh, okay.
And like over there, it's pretty dangerous because you'll get gusts of like 35 that will just wipe you out. Or if it's wet, it's snot. It is.
Oh, really?
Oh, that road, you'll go down so fast.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm pretty confident with my bike handling, and I wouldn't push it.
Okay,
not worth it. So I lost a couple days, but I think I got three or four in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. And they're all decent rides, like 2-3 hours.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, how many days did you get in?
From last Tuesday, I think it was three.
Three?
So, yeah. You know,
that's just total training, even including weight, strength or anything like that? Oh. You probably did it every day.
I didn't do it every day, so five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Five?
Including weight and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul?
Three.
Today. We did an outside day, which was nice. Oh, did you go out today?
Went out today and Sunday.
Oh, man, it was windy today, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Ooh.
Yes, it was.
Look who the big boy is. David, what's your total? Four? Nice. I got three rides in. I got two strength days in. And I got another physical therapy in yesterday. And have a new physical therapist. I'm switching back. Sam was there. Flipped him off.
It's true.
Have a new physical therapist. I'm not going to name his name because, you know, I don't have his permission to do that. But it was super nice. I feel actually better today. So two in and I feel better. I do want to say, and this was not his fault in any way, shape, or form, but every time he used to start a sentence by saying, "Well, when we get older,"
love him.
It's like, yeah. He's right, but
God damn it! I also love that he notices your voice. Like, he knows your voice from local events. Like, that is the best.
Well, he looked at me kind of like a curious dog for a couple of seconds. He's like, I know where you're coming from. Side to side. Yeah, exactly. But when we get older, and I found out that I basically should not be lifting things above my head now, unless my thumbs are up.
Yeah.
If my thumbs are to the side or down, that's bad. Mm-hmm. And here my hands are above my head.
So you can't dunk the basketball.
I can't dunk the basketball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
causes an impingement.
Yes. That was the word he used. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like such an idiot, but, you know, an old idiot.
Why would you know that?
I really like all the knowledge I'm getting from everybody.
I'm just
there.
Saying that, like, it why would, been, like, that's, you know, like, you shouldn't know any of that stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of your stuff that I have no clue about.
Yeah. But, I mean, what I'm saying is it's a really cool experience, and I'm enjoying it, even though I found out last week that predominantly old people go to physical therapy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm...
Who
I'm
said that?
Old. Well, when we get older.
Well, if you walk in the clinic, you'll see a certain demographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David?
That's the demographic.
Yeah. there was a lady with one of those walkers that you sit in, and I was just like going, those are so... You know what? But they'd be really convenient. Like when you're in the grocery line or something like that, and you just want to spin around and cop a squat, and you just... Mm-hmm. Oh, we're moving. And then you just move your feet like a shuffle. It'd be kind of cool. They have a handbrake and everything.
We're pretty close to that.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. They have a handbrake, but it's not a... I think it actually... No, it's a pad brake. It's, pad. It's not a disc. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty impressive.
That'd be awesome.
Disc brake.
That's the future.
Yeah.
Suspended. Oh, I got air in my brake hose. I can't stop.
And it's like all chaos, and they zoom out, and the person's going 1 mile an hour.
Yeah. Grandma, what's wrong? You find you at the bottom of the stairs. Fucking disc brakes. David, you got you participated in a little jaunt this weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. 85 mile. Mm-hmm. How much gravel? How many? What would you say percent?
Okay, they lied. Oh. The thing said like that there was like 20 miles. It was definitely more than 20 miles. It was maybe 20 of road. So
is that because you were going slow?
No, that doesn't change how much road and gravel there is.
Well, it feels longer when you're going slower, David.
That's fair. But I looked back at the map where they indicated there was road. It was all gravel.
Okay.
The descent was gravel, too.
The descents were actually, most of them were all paved. That was nice.
Yeah. 85 miles and about just over 6,000 feet of climbing.
63, yeah.
March.
Yep.
First of all, why? And actually, no. I would have done it, too, if it wasn't that far.
Yeah.
But how'd it go, Chief?
Not well. I actually had high hopes going into it. Like, I thought this training that I've been doing was great. Like, I've been feeling pretty good when I was out, got the new bike, put some Sam's Carbon wheels on it. Like, I got new gravel shoes, so new bike, new gravel shoes. Wow. That I've never ridden. That was the first time out.
The placebo was high on that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like stoked. You know, I was pumped going into it. The first 30 miles, to be honest, so the first hour and a half, which is about what I've been doing for training, excellent. There were some amazingly fast guys out there, like legit, you know, Conti Pro guys from around here, who reported the ride as a fat-burning exercise on their Strava. Screw that. But anyways.
Screw that. Screw them.
Screw that. I stuck with them for the first 90 minutes, and then I imploded harder than I've ever imploded in my entire life. And I don't even know what kind of power I was putting out. I don't know what, but I never passed another person. I just got passed for the next 50 miles. I told myself I was quitting more in that race than I probably said ever in my life. I stopped twice to actually quit. And then I couldn't bring myself to do it. I took at one point we crossed the finish, like crossed right by the finish line. And then we like went and did another 30 mile loop.
Camera.
And I literally made the left to cut the race off at mile 60, and I looked at everybody at the finish, and I thought, I can't tell them I quit because I'm gonna cross before all the other guys, and I'm gonna have to tell them I'm quitting, otherwise I'm gonna win the Grand Fondo. And so I turned around and I kept going, and then I got to the last aid station. I was like, this is it. I'm turning around, I'm gonna fill my bottles, I'm taking snacks, and I'm going home. And everybody cheered when I showed up. And I was
those
like,
bastards.
Those bastards. And I was like, I can't turn around in front of these people. And I just kept going and going. I was so miserable. And I did nothing right. I didn't have any food. I didn't drink. I didn't eat or drink for the first 60 minutes. I only had two bars and a gel with me because that's all that was in my cupboards. And the snacks were garbage. You paid $100 for a Grand Fondo. They better have good snacks.
Were they like Kirkland nuts and stuff like that?
Yeah, and peanut M&Ms. Tried to take a handful and eat them. spit them all out.
Oh yeah, that doesn't
yeah,
go down.
Yeah, it did not sit well.
Too much brewer's yeast.
Too much peanut. There's, the peanut doesn't go down well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was terrible. I finished probably an hour behind where I would have hoped. But you know, I stopped multiple times to quit.
So that does subtract them a bit.
That subtracts a little bit of it. But either way, it was a, but you know, hopefully it did me well for the long run.
Fat burning.
I was happy with the first 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't see the crash coming. Like the bonk. Yeah. I felt wonderful until all of a sudden I didn't.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen you happier than when your brother was telling the story of his misfortune.
I love it when he's in pain.
Wow.
It is a sick pleasure of mine. So I will just digest this, right? Because this is like
we
something
can all go
that David knows exactly where I'm going with this because I have preached this for the longest time. He's my younger brother. I'm never going to let him die out on the road. But I am always like, okay, I think I need about this many gels. It's going to take all of that. I'm doing calculations in my mind of calories burned for all of this, how much I'm going to need. Okay, double it.
Yep.
Here you go, David. And I hand it to him. And he just shows up and he rocks it, right? Like he crushes. I'm not there.
I mean, you want to blame the whole thing on the nutrition.
I'm going to blame a large portion on the nutrition.
The other thing is I ripped out 300 square feet of carpet and laid 300 square feet of floor on Friday and Saturday, and I couldn't move.
So you're a
single
poor planner on top of a dipshit when it comes to fuel.
I couldn't move before I got on the bike. And I got on and I was like, oh yeah, that's about right. And I started pedaling and I was like, it'll get better. Everything will loosen up as I pedal. And it kind of did.
Kind of.
By the end, it didn't. I don't know if it was just.
What was the analogy of your matchbook that you lit off?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had one of those one of those restaurant matchbooks that somebody left like five or six matches in.
Yeah.
And then somebody handed me a sparkler, and I just lit it all on fire.
And then that was in an hour and a half, and then just
yeah. Actually, it was on the first. It was on the first like 1,000-foot climb.
You stripped naked and danced around it like Lord of the Flies.
Yep. Because I made it over that first 1,000-foot climb with the front group, and then I just imploded. I was like, well, I really thought you guys would slow down.
I really thought this was going
to
go
wait,
differently.
Wait, guys, wait for me.
I thought once we got to the top, we would back off.
Yeah. Hey, no fair. You guys didn't read the manual.
No.
Friggin' brutal.
Okay, that was worth every second of it. And by the way, I also know how you did because I saw Strava, and I also saw Strava of some very cool people who are older than me who beat you.
You don't have to tell me, man. Every time somebody passed me, I'd be like, what the fuck? What is wrong with me?
Why?
What is going
just
on?
Kill me.
Mama.
I quit.
Brand new bike. Pull into the driveway, throw in the dumpster.
Yep. Man, that's going to pay dividends, though. Like, I was talking last year, pull it up. Like, you know, I had my one day of, you know, torturing David. That's not happening this year because he has this under his belt.
Yep. So. Yeah, those you can bank those. Good fat burning. Jackson, I know you keep your cards really close to the chest, but how do you feel in comparison to last year?
It's a different game, I will say. It's 100% different. It's just like I talk about it probably, is it ad nauseum? Ad nauseum. Yeah. Okay. But I will say that I have found that the strength training has helped quite heavily.
Really?
And in the way that I also strength train as well. I find that, I've actually done research into this stuff, but like I found that rather than when you take a squat, you don't just take it and then push back up. You take it and you explode back up.
Bounce.
Yeah. And so just things like, little things like that, you know, have really helped me. My upper body strength is a lot different this year. So just like popping into those sprints, it's like that initial burst is bigger than what it was. I can sustain a lot of things a lot better. I heard my brother-in-law the other day talk about how he was saying the exact opposite of what I'm about to say. But I have found that my physical endurance, like, you know, muscularly, I don't know if that's how you'd say it, is much better than what it was. I would find that my legs were filling with lactic acid instantly the second I started to push for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This year is a little different. Now I feel that just strength
really
when I push on it. So it's better, much better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Shit. Paul, why are you so hard on yourself?
Hmm?
What? Why are you so hard on yourself?
No, I know Wait, where
you,
I'm
you
at.
And I sprinted, you and I sprinted for a city limit sign on the ride on Saturday.
It was pathetic.
How was it pathetic?
It was like two old men. We didn't even read, but how was it pathetic? On that sprint, because it's slight downhill. This is the one going down Thorpe.
Oh, I love
it, that It's one. Like, yeah. I always hit at least 40. We didn't even hit 40 miles an hour.
Well, that's because we started late.
It doesn't
matter. No, usually we're rolling into that thing pretty damn fast.
It was like, we were making dad noises in the sprint. My belly was hitting the top tube. It was terrible.
Shit.
It was awful. It was like so embarrassing. It's like, because usually that if I can get rolling, then, you know, I can just pop it in one bigger gear and it's just like, I could feel like an explosion. And it's just like, that was about it.
You're killing me. You know, he was saying that. He's saying that. And I get home and I look at Strava and I hit 1,300 watts.
I didn't.
You know, didn't. maybe for 2 seconds, but you know, still. And he's like, oh, we're old. We suck, don't we? And the devil's on my shoulder going, you do suck.
Yes, you do.
You were getting better, but now you're back to the bowels of hell.
Thanks,
suck, man. suck. Nobody likes you. They only come to your house for the beer, pussy.
Yes.
I'll change my the way I.
Nah, too late, man. Thing. I'm back down there. I'm back sorry. To the therapist.
I threw you down in the gutter again, didn't I?
Oh, shit. I do need to mention that I was late to a WSBA meeting last night, which is the Washington State Bicycling Association, but caught the good information that there's a pretty good race calendar starting to build around here.
Nice.
It's getting really impressive. David had me thinking about these first kind of opener questions, although I got to go kind of quickly getting to all of our content we got. What does it take for you to travel to a race? Does it need to be something substantial, like more than a crit? Because I was thinking about there are some individual crits on the schedule. But I have a feeling that some of you guys are bouncing around in the back of your head. Well, it's just a 45-minute or an hour crit. That's a long drive. I wouldn't do that. Yet we'd go for a Fondo where we have to eat Costco nuts or M&M peanuts or something like that.
I will say that I would probably much rather spend the time and the money to go to a crit where my wife can see me more than one time and not be like, oh, great, now I have to fill 4 hours I can have a time doing a race that all of us will probably be involved in honestly probably a cooler area than, no offense to the lovely Tri-Cities, but than the Tri-Cities.
No,
I don't think one third of the price.
Yeah. That's the thing. So it's like, I would probably, not probably 100% do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I expected the opposite out of you guys.
I would 100% need 2 days of racing. So it'd have to be a Saturday, Sunday.
That would make it
worth
it.
Or at least two races. I'm not going to go to the West Side for one race. It's just, I'm not going to. Just like they're not going to come over here for one race.
I would do it for like a crit, you know, district championship. I would.
Yeah.
Like I would maybe go over for Derby days, right? Like or Ballard. Those are like big high crits that we used to do that are just, they're exciting. I would maybe make a weekend out of that. Or something new is the big thing. Like I went to Tri-Cities because I was like, what could they possibly have to offer? And I will tell you, though, it sucked. There were some really cool roads that I rode. And I have always despised Kennewick, and I think I still do. But, like, it was cool to see somewhere new. Yeah, that's why I wanted to do Montana last year. It's like, I've never ridden over there.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it for me is new roads.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they used to have a really good Horsehaven was a race that they had like a 2 day.
We went up Horsehaven.
Yeah. That was probably, they used part of that course. That was part of
when my
course.
Wife asked me, where is there 6,000 feet of climbing in the Tri-Cities? And I said, you got the Horsehaven Hills, you got the, you got all that kind of stuff out there.
Side note, you know what the worst sign is for a bike race? When you look around, there's nothing but windmills. That's a horrible, horrible sign.
Yeah.
unless you're 195 pounds and 6'3".
Yeah, I love it. That's like
or graveyards. Territory. Graveyards are bad too, though.
Yeah.
Or
Rendezvous Blues.
Meth farms. Or specific flags voting for a specific political candidate. How about accommodation needs? Like, do you guys need. There's a couple things that got me thinking about traveling to races. Number one, okay, what does the race have to be? Number two, I know a lot of people who are like, how willing are you to get up the morning of the race at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive across the state, do the race? Or are you, do you need to know that there's a hotel involved? Or, and even worse, when the race finishes in the late afternoon on a Sunday and you know you've got a 5-6 hour drive ahead of you and you've got work the next day, what are your thoughts on, like, is there a requirement of any of that, or is it just like, it's, you know, do you even consider that? I think about that all the time. I won't go to concerts here in Spokane if they're on a weeknight. I'll buy tickets to them and I'll pull a Sam. I'll just be like, well, I bought the tickets. Anybody want them? Nope. I'm going to bed.
I don't know. I feel like this is me personally, but I think I need a night before, because I think that if I'm getting up and driving that day of,
it's hard,
and if I'm going to travel any sort of distance over, I would say, 2 hours, I'm probably aiming to do well.
Yeah.
And so I want to give myself the best chance possible. If I'm driving, I heard it from Tyler Williams on EJ's training camp. He said that a car ride is really not a recovery. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting in a tight box for a certain amount of time. And so I would need that night before. I don't care if I'm driving home after, though.
Really?
Like, I kind of have fun with my wife on car trips. It's just kind of something get to talk about, see the scenery.
So
it's
so wired after a bike race.
So it's just really? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any problems coming. The coming back is going there. If you go the same day, your legs are blocked. There's no way you're going to open your legs up before. Yeah. It's just a hassle. And so you would have to. And back when we were racing, we had plenty of friends on the west side. You always said, hey, I'm coming over. You had a place to crash.
You had plenty of friends on the right side. I had a rich dad.
So you bought your friends?
No, bought a hotel.
Oh, that's my
funny.
God.
That's funny.
Sorry, but he's not listening.
That's really funny. Jesus.
Good Lord.
No, and you know, and I have a hard time driving back because
let me do the driving then.
Yeah,
I have no problems.
Really?
Yeah,
I would do that.
Like you said, I'm jacked. Especially, you know, crit or something. You're just buzzing. Oh yeah,
I get done with like even these weeknight ones, and like they finish 7:30 or so.
Yeah.
God, I'm not going to bed before midnight.
Oh no, I'll give you that. I'm jacked from those. But if I gotta sit into a car for 5 hours, I'm like, my wife's like, let's listen to Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I'm like, no, it's Mellow. Yeah, I know you guys lost that reference, but that's an old Mellow band.
I got it.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Yeah.
I very like to be driven.
Yeah, David is gonna crawl in.
Fall asleep.
Yep. I had a friend drive me down and back to Tri-Cities this weekend, which was a lifesaver. I could hardly keep my eyes open on the way home.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that drive is
miserable.
That drive sucks too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, piggybacking off of this, I know everybody hates that saying, do you guys feel like you are able to, or have like trained yourselves to, after a ride, bounce into like the mode of, oh, I'm gonna like do other things now, I'm gonna be like the fun guy? Or do you feel like after a ride, you feel like you're just like, day's done?
Ride a race, first of all.
Right. So like we all go on like a hard training ride, you know, like one of those 4 hour training rides. Do you feel like you just go to sleep, or you bounce into like, let's have fun?
That depends. For me, it depends on when I get home, what my wife is doing.
Fair enough.
If my wife is hanging out on the couch, I go straight upstairs, I take a shower, and I go to sleep. If she's in the yard working on shit, I pout and
go work on
you hide.
Go work on stuff. Yeah, or I hide. Yeah, exactly. No, I'd like to say I used to be able to be far more energetic. I do remember one specific day on a really hard training ride. I can't remember who said it to me, but a guy looked at me next to me, and I was supposed to take you, Jackson, to Finding Nemo in the movie theaters. And I looked at him, I said, I got to take my kid to a movie this afternoon. I can barely think. You know, it was like Bonksville. It was like David this last weekend, except without the cool hair and beard. and he looked at me, he says, when you get home, don't sit down, go straight upstairs, shower, come straight downstairs, take your kid to the movie. Don't stop. And I didn't, but I fell asleep during Finding Nemo. Somebody could have stolen you, abducted you, taken you away, and right. I would have been just like, huh?
Well, that was before those days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, there really there were no creepers back in, what, 2006?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? How do you do?
I would say, for me, it depends. In the old days where you were training for me, like 90-mile, 85-mile, you know, rides or races, we would just beat each other up, and I'd have to come home with my practice to my practice wife, and pretend that I'm okay and I can't perform. I just was wrecked. But now it's a different thing because I don't have to train that far.
You had practice though too.
Yeah, and I had practice.
You understood.
And and my location now. Because I don't have to do yard work. And I don't have to. See, this is the long term. Yeah, you're kind of in the same situation. Yeah. Yeah. There's not much to do. We have house cleaners that come in and clean. That's always been a hassle before. Sweet. And it's just
you might have some human feces in your parking spot or something.
Yeah,
like that,
that's not my.
This is our little town.
Problem.
This is our little town of Bethlehem.
They're going to eat it anyways.
It's not meth anymore. It's fentanyl.
Oh, xylazine.
And xylazine. You know,
fentanyl doesn't sound as cool as Bethlehem.
They're just bent over and they pick up pieces of gravel and they just stare at it and it's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean,
so did David on mile 83.
But at my age, here's the thing: with my real wife, not my practice wife, she wants to do something. Yeah, we just go to Purgatory. Let's go to Brick West, and I have a beer and we sit and chat. So it's all good.
So, yeah, I know that's like a rule. You can't if it's gonna make it so that you're a vegetable for the rest of the day. Nope.
You're gonna get yourself in trouble.
Yep. And so I am like. There's very few far between rides over probably 60 miles now.
But there have been some rides I remember with you where you were like, I am wrecked. I am toast. Yeah. Did you go home and lie and pretend you were fine?
Hey, man, what are you going to do? I'm ready for anything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm then like drooling.
Because you didn't want a practice wife.
Yeah, I don't want to practice. Yeah. This is the wife.
But I'll be married for 30 years this May. And
and she knows you. She's just like, oh, you're adorable. Go lay down.
No, she'll look at me more like, you asshole.
Yeah.
Go lie down.
You failed.
She's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But she'll be like,
that's not an option.
I'm destroyed.
This is not even an option.
Really?
No, there's things to be done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It's like this Saturday, I'm thinking it's really good weather. Yeah, how do I get in a really good longer ride and still get all the stuff done that I need to get done?
Yeah, I want to bash this weekend. Yeah. That sounds kind of sexual.
You
but
all. I'm gonna break all
right.
You all.
I don't mean all it right. in a bad
You're
way.
Dying.
I will You'll, die. I am.
I don't know
bad
if I'll even
way.
See you past mile 20.
I don't. I'm not gonna be here. Yeah. I gotta go to my stepmom's 80th birthday, so I'm out of town for 36
what?
Hours.
What?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I'm not upset about it. They're not listening.
Oh no!
Yeah. 80th birthday though. That's a big dog. That's a big mm-hmm. one. That's like mm-hmm. that's like swallow it and go.
Yeah, I know.
So I gotta go.
Yeah. It's Bozeman. That's a cool town though.
It is. Mm-hmm. If it was in the 60s.
No, have you been to the Leaf and Bean?
Yeah. Oh, I've been all That's over the place. Town. Yeah. No, what I'd love is if it was like it was here, I'd take my bike because in the middle of the day, they might just kind of hang out. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I need a nap too. But, you know, just go over there and just go out for a couple hours. It'd be nice. But
Go to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Where that little
yeah,
town?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kansas? And go, no, Manhattan, Montana.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's called the Oasis. And you get a
the
chunk
steakhouse.
Of steak.
Steakhouse. I've been there.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. It's so good.
Great town too.
Yeah. You guys are gross.
Yeah. They have some good bike racing there too, and they just like Missoula. Well, actually,
I'm not going to Montana again.
Bozeman's worse.
That hurt my ego.
Bozeman's worse than Missoula. You throw a rock in Bozeman, and you're going to hit somebody either on the World Cup or with less than 5% body fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to race those people.
Multi millionaire.
Yeah, and they're going to smile at you with those big toothy grins. Hi. We just moved from insert California
I'm
down here.
I'm better than you.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. But they're nice, and that's what
I know. This is I hate it. I don't want to be friends with any of them.
Yeah, my dad's gonna watch golf all weekend too, and I'm just gonna be like, "Hey, got a fork? Gouge my eyes out." Speaking of potentially boring things for other people to watch, let's switch gears, catch up. Whoa, news bit. Where the fuck is it?
You screwed up your whole layout there.
I did.
Yeah.
And on, it was alphabetical for a while there. I should really edit this show, but...
You need trifocals. You need a little more zoom.
Shut up. Look at how far back my head
is. I know.
Is.
You're like this.
We don't have enough time. brought to us by Cycle Systems Online. Go from zero to hero, or from can't change a flat to master mechanic in one short year. Trust me, this site has all you need to get your skills sharpened and bike purring. Use our link at packfiller.com, please. The mini stage race week that crams itself into our spring classic season has completed, with Italy hosting Tirreno Adriatico and France its own little Paris-Nice. Paris-Nice. Both races are a great way for the Grand Tour riders to strut their spring fitness and for Pat Lefebvre to show his curmudgeon-y inside. And this year did not fail to provide. First off, Tirreno was a tour de force from the one and only Jonas Vingegaard. I say Vingegaard. I know that's not how he says it. But, you know, people call me Bulger all the time. So deal with it, Jonas. Showing that he was truly the man to watch in July. So quick chime in. Who watched?
Of course I did.
Paul did. Jackson, you did not.
I know.
You didn't watch Tirreno?
I know what happened in every single day.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the same thing happened in every single day.
It was the Jonas show.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Yeah. Too bad he doesn't have any brothers.
I thought Paris-Nice was the more entertaining of the two.
Well, yeah. The sprints were pretty exciting, though.
Juan Ayuso said that he was, and I quote, the first human in this race in regards to Vingegaard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. he just was like, that guy's not human.
Someone to look out for, speaking of which, is Ayuso? Juan Ayuso. Yeah. I think that he won't probably go to the tour, but I think he should if they really want to win it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or negotiate a contract with... You know, any other team.
Some other team.
Yeah, it's
and Ineos. Honestly, Ineos would be a great spot for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. In my opinion, it was good, but not as good as Paris-Nice. But I was forced to watch on Peacock Paris-Nice because my work didn't allow me to use my NordVPN.
What?
It doesn't. It's got so many paranoid restrictions because I'm at a high school and they think that if a kid gets on a VPN that they're gonna cheat.
Mm. I think they're probably thinking worse than that.
Yeah. Well, I think if a kid's got a VPN and he's going around the back way in terms of doing stuff to get an A on a math quiz, that kid has got a better future than just about anybody who could pass that math quiz.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just that. And I know that I don't mean to bash Bob and Christian, but they tend to dumb it down for the American audience. And I get kind of tired of that.
Well, and the unfortunate thing with those two, because they're better than that.
Yeah.
It is... American NBC.
Yeah.
And they have to, they're trying to bring in a new crowd.
Yeah. It's just, I said this last year, it's an American accent. It just makes it feel not as good.
It's a little dirty. Isn't it? It's a little gross.
Yeah.
Well, Bob in his early days with Phil.
Yeah.
You know,
Phil and Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the dialect. You're right, Jackson.
Yeah. But his commentary was pretty good and kind of on point of his character that he is, and I think they had a tape,
he was more color than play by play, and so Bob's now doing play by play, which kind of restricts him in terms of his references, mm-hmm. and his pop culture stuff that he mm-hmm. was really solid at, but Paris-Roubaix, whoops, I'm thinking ahead, Paris-Nice, a great American hope. In terms of bike races, Matteo Jorgensen.
Matty J is what they called him.
That's great. How come all of our riders are starting to sound like foreign riders? Sepkus.
Matteo.
Brandon McNulty even sounds like,
That's pretty American.
I think that sounds British.
Yeah. It's not really Scott, is it?
I don't think so.
Quinn Simmons is also British name.
Brandon McNulty. Brandon. Remco in the middle at second. Just me, or was this a surprise? David, it's a surprise. He's like,
he is
bike
no
crazy.
Clue.
He's going, who?
Who's Remco?
Yeah.
Huh? Aeroskin?
Yes.
Look at you. Somebody give him a biscuit.
Flashcards.
Yeah.
Flashcards.
That's how I became a doctor.
I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy to see Remco up there fighting for the win. Yeah. It's good to see that he can at least right now fight for a 7-day stage race. I was surprised to see Primoz not.
He looked overweight.
He just looks like he's not where he was. Yeah. And I think that we are seeing I think, Sam, you mentioned this a couple weeks ago, or Paul, that he is being a little bit more conservative in his 7-day stage race because he would win all of those, mm-hmm. just crush them. And so I'm interested to see if that's a plan or if that is genuinely new team, new training plan, not really going how it used to. But
is he playing the long game here?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. He wants that tour bad.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see that. Remco, hopefully it's not too early for a form to hit, but good for him.
Yeah, I think he's still so young. Like, at that age, your fitness can turn so quick.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, the old, like, I feel like when you're a bit older, like, God, Garrett has to T, right?
Yeah, people of your age. When we get older.
There we go.
As we get older. He said we. And I was like, look at you.
Yeah.
Adonis, stop it.
Yeah. He's a freaking model.
He is.
I'm having struggles with it right now. I'm insecure at work.
Yeah.
I was the best looking, and now he's
pretty
there.
Soon you're going to be pulling a full on salt burn. Yeah, just like licking the pool.
I know. Okay, yeah. So what we're talking about is that, like, Garrett Thomas has to be
such a gross reference. I haven't even seen the movie, but I know this scene. Have any of you guys seen that movie?
Nope.
Don't.
I won't. But anyway. So Garrett Thomas has to be, like, so regimented for all of his season, right? If he wants to peak for, like, two of these races. Whereas, like, the younger guys, they kind of get to just shotgun this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your fitness can change so quickly that, like, if you're just in the top two, Remco probably, did quite a bit of more training than I ever would in the off season. But, I mean, he's probably going to race himself into fitness.
Egan Bernal, boys and girls.
Yeah,
cool. My God, I am rooting for that guy. Mm-hmm. You know who Egan Bernal is?
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
he wears a red shirt.
Did you know that has he won a race in the past?
Yes.
Which one?
A big one.
Yeah. Which big one?
The Tour de France.
Oh, you're right. Wow, that's almost like it was fed to you.
Le Tour de France.
I want to comment on how well Mads Pedersen is riding right now. I think the guy has a classic and some sprinter's jerseys in his future. Guy's dominating. Any other performances of note? I mean, should this bring any type of attention from the American audience? We had, for a long time, first and second in that race with Jorgensen and McNulty. Actually, reverse that. Do you guys expect any? And with Sepkus winning Tour of Spain last year, are we on the verge of something good? Or I think, Paul, you said it on our ride the other day. As we were leaving a coffee shop, we bumped into somebody and said, you know, just a random person, I bet they couldn't name more than three riders from the United States in the Pro Peloton these days.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Is that the case, or do we, or is there maybe a resurgence of American interest?
I think that, like, we are growing a lot, and we have a lot of people that are up there. I don't foresee any of these guys being, like, Grand Tour contenders, but if I were to just make a blank statement of, like, what I would want for the U.S. riders would be like, I mean, how cool
Grand
would
Tour
be
contenders, Sepkus won a Grand Tour.
No, I get that. But also, like, if Jonas was going for that, I am a huge Kuz fan. But if Jonas was going for that, Jonas would have taken that. Roglic couldn't take it, but Jonas could have taken it.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. He was glued on Roglic's wheel, and he's like, I'm not coming around you because I'm not going to take this win.
I think Roglic could have taken it, but there's a team deal.
Yeah. Anyway. I disagree. But that's fine. We've had debates about it.
That's okay. You know, okay. If people talk bad about you, just deny them.
Yeah,
but make sure you talk
they're
like
wrong.
This when
they're
you're
wrong.
Talking.
I'm orange. Anyway, so I believe that we don't necessarily have like anybody that's going to win the Tour or even Giro. Maybe Goose could win the Tour of Spain again.
Who's racing the Giro for the U.S.?
Nobody that's trying to win it.
Mateo's going to, if he goes, he's going to have to race for Wout.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but like,
I think what if we had, because I think with the, well, anyway, go ahead.
Just what if we had, like, we were like a Belgian team, like, you know, country in the sense of like we had these guys who were just beasts. Like that's what I think that the U.S. could provide anyway is powerhouses. Mm-hmm. Like we are bigger generally than a lot of other people in the world. So I don't know. I think that's cool that we have people that are just doing well generally.
Yeah.
I feel like American wise, I agree. I don't know if that we're going to have a lot of people that are going to really like broaden the spectrum of who's watching professional cycling. I think that we are going to, this will help bring American cyclists into watching cycling races now, which I guess in turn, new cyclists, it's just a constant conveyor belt. So hopefully, but I don't foresee like a gigantic spike, just like with the Lance documentary. I never saw that it would be like, wow, we're going to watch the races now.
Yeah.
But I think that it will get them more interested in it. I think that some of the local racers in this specific city, in fact, probably didn't watch a lot of bike racing before. But now that they heard that Sepkus won the Giro, or excuse me, the Vuelta, maybe that got him. I think I actually know that got him more into watching it. So I think that it's a possibility.
And the viewing opportunities, I mean, it used to be that these bike races were on major networks, and that would get, at least spark an interest, but even though it was wedged between auto racing and golf. We don't have that anymore. It's now a very specific way to watch these races.
It'll be interesting with Unchained, that series.
Yeah.
How much, I mean, it's done wonders for Formula One. And they're in their fifth, sixth season, and you know, it'll be, 2 years going in on the next one. So, yeah, it could be a good thing and start kind of brightening people. That's what people, like, we're used to network television. No one watches network television anymore.
No, it's done. Yeah. It's dead. Yeah. Everything's going to be on demand. Yeah. Okay, in other words, Giro ain't going to take the UCI shit anymore. The helmet manufacturer has insisted it, quote, plays by the rules, end quote, after the UCI announced a review into time trial helmets, a move seemingly triggered by the launch of the new Giro Arrowhead 2, a.k.a. a Volvo on your head. In a post from Instagram last week...
Volva?
Volvo.
Volvo. Oh, okay.
Easy there, Dr. Better. Creepy.
You are the one.
Steady on. Steady on.
Okay. Steady on. I said Volvo.
Yeah. Volvo?
That's a whole different image. If somebody's into AI, Google that one.
Yeah.
Okay. In the Instagram last week, Giro revealed that the UCI had authorized the prototype of that Arrowhead 2 to be used in racing for 2024 on October of 2023. Crucially, however, there is a little, you know, side statement that says, and I quote, the authorization is thus provisional and may be amended or withdrawn at any time. So, ugly helmet aside, what is up with the UCI and changing directions on this ruling? Is this you snuck something by us, it is against the rules now, or is this everybody's complaining, so we're going to change our minds because we want to be the cool kids in the room?
It's Dan Lloyd. Dan Lloyd.
You think that's what it is?
Did he?
If you watch the GCN show, that was like everybody's like, what Dan Lloyd said. It was that you know, the cosmetic part of cycling. It doesn't bring people in. They're like, okay, let's cross the
line. So you think the UCI is making this decision based upon popular opinion?
I think that it has a bit of a part into why this is all happening. I mean, to start, I want to talk about the specialized TT helmet that
or wind sock
So originally that helmet was it was approved, but it wasn't like fully approved. It kind of snuck in a little bit under the radar. And they were, so really they made that helmet and they put it out and they didn't know or something about the sock. Anyways, it was one of those pre kind of like provisionally approved products that they saw and then they were fine with for 2 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 2 years they were fine with that helmet. And then what they did is they saw that other brands are starting to kind of change how their helmets worked. And they opened up the UCI rules.
Which is page 4 of the Book of Duh.
Yeah, and they opened up the UCI rules to how a helmet can be. But we're starting to see that the helmet is starting to become the body a little bit. And I think that they open up the rules, but they're kind of starting to take it back a little bit. And it feels like, I don't know, if you can't do that, it just feels like, after a little while. I mean, there are very specific, you know, parameters of what a helmet can be. And the Giro helmet does fit in there. And so now it's just one of those things where it's like the classic UCI going back on a rule that they already made. This just doesn't feel right. I think that it should stick around. I hate the helmet, but innovate or die, right?
Paul, it reminds me of our days when the first aero helmets came out, when the funny bike came out. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought it was ridiculous looking and stuff like that. Some of us who were younger thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was cool when the funny bike came out and stuff like that. There's this talk of, well, it's got to be equal across all teams. Not all teams had aero bikes. Mm-hmm. Well, if Laurent Fignon was here today, he would probably like to have a little comment about aero bars and the Tour de France that he lost by 8 seconds because he didn't have that technology. So your entire argument of haves versus the have-nots is kind of silly. I don't want these helmets to exist because I think they're ugly. But you know what? There's a market for them. Maybe they have a place. So the UCI just seems like they're just shooting themselves in the foot right now.
I think I really think they probably, this is my take on it, they opened the door with the head sock thing.
Yeah.
And then they saw how ridiculous it's getting. It's like, okay, we've crossed the line. But the problem is you have companies that have put tons of money into
tons.
These.
Tons.
Yeah. And I have to confess, I love time trials. I like watching time trials. I was been around when the funny bike first came out and all that technology. System U had a seat that actually had like a razor in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and had a fairing so they could press. And it just like all of a sudden we started getting a little bit crazy. Even at that point, I'm like, all right, aero bars are fine. And now we're getting into these positions that are like, well, how many training accidents, because you got to train in that position.
Yeah.
You know, Bernal and Froome,
yeah,
they're not a safe bike. I just think TTs are, I don't think they have a place in stage racing anymore. I don't, unless, and I don't
pro
know,
or
and
amateur?
I don't pro amateur. I, you know, well, there's a battle with amateurs. Like, do we make like our local RC3? They've changed their TT. It's going to be a flat one out by the start of the road race, and you can bring TT bikes. Well, man, that really changes things, right?
Yeah, I immediately decided not to race it when I heard that. It was kind of a waste of energy.
To me, it's like, I think, unfortunately, that discipline in road racing should go away for stage races. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it becomes an arms race. I mean,
I will forward all of the responses to your
no, it's not
private
be
email.
Good.
Yeah.
And I really liked watching that advance and the speeds and everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like having one too many beers. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I feel about this. So
I will also say, when it comes to
I like that analogy. That's a really good way to put it.
When it comes to this topic of, like, you know, if you've got the money to really put into that much innovation, why not use it? Well, no, seriously, but I mean, at least...
Sorry, there's some in my throat.
No, you're good. But when it comes to the pro level, the word success was the first word that really popped into my head. Mm-hmm. And success, I feel like, in a modern sense, has such a financial backing to it anymore. And I think that if, in this day and age, you want to have a successful cycling team, you have to have the funds behind it to succeed. I'm sorry, but a team like Visma Lisabike is not going to succeed if they do not have the financial backing to... First of all, put all that like R&D into the helmets, the bikes, the skin suits, and then also to provide the wages for these highly, highly successful riders.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm sorry, but a Cofidis is never going to, is never in this world going to compete against a Visma Lisa bike just because of the money.
Yeah.
They just don't have that success.
There lies a problem, and I'll use this as an example. Track racing may disappear in Olympics. And the reason for that is that if you think of all the countries in the world coming in, how many have velodromes, can actually train?
Yeah.
It because they're expensive. They're not a moneymaker.
Yeah.
We see them close down. There's not hardly any in the United States.
Yeah. You got to run a whole building.
Yeah. Like, it's just not viable. And I think that is the way of TTs. I think we're going to the point where, like, teams, I mean, even professional teams, who's going to be able to afford, in you know, to have all this equipment, top-notch equipment?
Plus, you got to put like 12 bikes on the top of each car to get that reverse draft.
Exactly. That's right.
That's a lot of random bikes.
Absolutely.
You guys don't have anything. I'm teasing. Let's look ahead. Let's preview. Bob. Milan-San Remo is this weekend, and I couldn't be more excited, and although I'm going to be out of town when it happens, so if any of you guys text me any spoilers,
I will do that.
I know, you did it on the...
I did this weekend. Yeah, and it was horrible.
You're welcome.
I hate spoilers.
You know what? Here's the reality. I've been a super fan for a long time. How long do you guys want me to keep this pent up?
24 hours.
No. It's too much.
24 hours. That's the rule. Classics, 24 hours. Or should we go 12 hours? What should be the rule on spoiling
Barry
a classic?
Nice. Come on.
I don't have to play this game because, you know, I'm watching live, so
yeah.
I don't have...
But no, I mean, before you spoil it for somebody else, what should be the time
minimum?
I
don't say anything. I wait for somebody else like Sam to spoil it for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Wait till 6 p.m. that night.
The night of the race?
Yeah.
6 p.m. Oh, my God.
Well, you can always text me.
And if you're a, quote, journalist, unquote, watch how you make your frickin' headlines. I hate the
photo that you
choose. I logged on to... Yep. I'm back. I'm mad at fucking Flow Bikes again.
There it goes, too. How many have you already done?
I don't know. I logged on to Flow Bikes the day to watch the final stage of Paris-Nice, and their home screen had a picture of Mateo Jorgensen and a headline that said, Jorgensen pulls off a win at Paris-Nice. What are you doing? Your job is to get me to subscribe to watch the bike races you're spoiling on your homepage. Head, ass, pull. Stop it. You have one job. One job. God, it made me so mad.
I wish I was there for that.
Oh, my wife wishes you were here, too, because I'm just like, rah, you know, throwing shit across the room. She's like, okay, Milan-San Remo. Okay.
I blacked out.
People at this age tend to get a little angry. I'm going to call that the show. 288 kilometers. That is just shy of 173 miles. That is insane. Parkour is mildly flat with the Passo del Torcino being the only major hurdle at the midpoint of the race. And I'm probably, Paul, correct me if I've got any of this wrong. And the Cipressi and Poggio make or break the race. This was for many years, and Paul, you could probably comment on this, being our closest historian, very much a power rider's race. And then for a short window there, the Zabel years,
sprinters Zabel came years, in.
Yeah, the sprinters came in and were able to kind of
Oscar
troll
Ferrer
it.
Oscar Ferrer was another one that won.
And now it's switched back to almost that, where that final climb has more of a statement. Thoughts on are we still in that happy classics writers years, or is it, do we see any kind of a transition?
You look at a classic writer like Vanderpool. If he came down to a sprint anyway, he's going to be a contender. He won last year, so
yeah.
I think people like Vincenzo Nibali.
Yeah, yeah.
He won it 1 year just because he outclimbed, and everybody thought they could catch him on the descent because. At the bottom of the descent, I think there's like 3 kilometers, I think it is.
Yeah.
Probably a little more than that, maybe 5 or something. But, you know, and there's a technical downhill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there is a trend that goes a certain way, but I think that also comes up with tactics. And if you have a team that is a sprinter, you're going to race it differently than somebody who's got like a Vanderpool or somebody who's got a Tadej Pogačar.
Yeah.
You know these guys? Anyway, so...
yes. Still with us there, Chief?
Show,
yeah.
David.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But the Chapresa is where things have in the past, not very often, busted open. But
yeah.
Like, it. Well, some people, even if it's on the downhill, for the last couple of years, have been the downhill.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have Mohorič with his drop post and then also...
Which was an unbelievable descent.
Well, and Vanderpool did the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, no one could catch him.
So. And the speed they went up that climb was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so are we all going to agree that there's at least 2 riders that we basically are all going to vote for on that list?
No. Can I guess?
Yes.
Tade?
Yeah.
And Vanderpool.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Are we all voting for those riders except Sam, who's trying to find as many Americans as he can?
I did circle Matteo and Tade, but
Matteo,
but I also Mads Pedersen, Christophe Laporte.
We can only pick 3.
Okay, but here's my thing: is Nielsen Palace is going to win?
I would really love that.
You're adorable.
I know. USA, USA.
What's the kid from? Siddall Quickstep, Luke
Lamperti.
Yeah. He's not there.
He doesn't have it.
Well, he's not there.
I think he is.
I don't see him on the list. Alaphilippe, Askren, Cataneo, Kearney, Moscone, Pedersen.
But you know who is?
Who?
Nielsen Palace.
So are we all going to agree that we all pick Tade and Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we all get to pick one rider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you picked
Nielsen Palace.
Jackson?
I picked Mads Pedersen.
Boo.
I'm going to change my
mind. So did I. So, okay, we'll give Jackson Mads Pedersen. So I have to pick somebody new now. Son of a...
I will say, as you are thinking about it, I think Tom Schuins deserves a little bit of an honorable mention.
Yeah.
I don't think that a single person from Zoudal Quickstep is going to be in the top 10. what else? Tell me when you're ready to go.
I love how everybody's over whispering over.
I think Danny Van Poppel is a very, very possible top tenner, even maybe top threeer.
Who was that?
Danny Van Poppel won on the Champs-Élysées. Who else?
Didn't he ask for Struyven?
He won a while ago. He won in 2019.
Yeah.
And again,
a breakaway.
I'm just going to, because I love him as a human being, Michael Matthews, he's just been hiding. He's just going to sprint out of nowhere, and he's not going to win. I'm so screwed.
That would be really cool.
It would be really cool.
It would be really cool. I love that
I was going to say Matthews or Filippo Ganna, but Paul,
I'm going a long shot, but he has performed very well, and that's Maxim Van Hels.
For Lotto Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David,
yeah.
Is your choice?
I think you're going to love it. Go ahead.
You are going to love it. Ganna Filippo.
Oh, my
God. Ganna Filippo.
My favorite.
You know what?
I didn't even circle him because I hate the guy so much.
I know.
I think Binyam Girmay. Honestly,
you should say Girmay Binyam because David said Ganna Filippo.
I think Binyam Girmay is a real, real candidate for this.
He shouldn't even get the rider because he said his name backwards.
Yes. But... What?
Yeah, do you know?
He knows.
Written this way, okay? I don't know who's first and second names, last name.
Look at how Tade has written.
But that's not a bad choice.
Oh,
I mean, he got what?
I see.
What did Ghana get? 4th? 3rd?
Look, okay.
Yeah, for sitting in last year. Don't give me.
When you walk into a hospital room, David, and somebody looks at you and says, and they hand you a chart, and that dramatic music's playing in the background, because that's how I imagine all things are at a hospital. And they're like, he's code red, doctor. Do you concur?
He's on
and
fire.
And you look at the name on the chart, and you have only like a couple seconds, and the music's going, chick-gong, chick-gong, chick-gong.
Yes, yes.
And the name in the background says GANNA-FILIPPO. Are you going to look and say, Mr. Ghana, you have 30 seconds to live? Or are you going to go like, Mr. Filippo?
Honestly,
I don't know what you're doing.
You won't even use it.
Yeah.
You won't say anything.
To be honest, usually you don't use your name.
Shit.
You say,
I tried to go. I tried
and
to go all hospital
anyway,
drama.
The nurse writes down everything.
Yeah, they put their preferred pronouns on the and name on the whiteboard. All that. But you know what? To be honest, I very much remember Sam's dislike of Ghana and played a huge part in
He went and poured beer.
That plus, y'all are picking. I don't know what you guys are basing your picks off, but I figured, put a good sprinter in there. We'll see.
Power Man.
Where's he from, David?
Time for some bumpers.
Give one guess.
Time for some segments.
Philippines.
Anyways.
Hey, where do you think he's from?
Italy.
Yeah. Time for some segments tonight. We've got four segments, which means we got to make like a bread truck and haul buns through these segments. How's the score, Paul?
They're down.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I guess we're all down now. All the segments are brought to us by our friends at Untapped Energy. Pure Vermont maple syrup is the core to great tasting and easily digestible energy. It ain't just for your pancakes, folks. It's brilliant stuff that powers you through, especially on those colder rides. I love it on the colder rides. It's not a little bit thicker, and it's just kind of num, num, num. Use the Lincoln Pack Filler. Paul, you okay to jump into a Changing Times?
Yeah, it'll be real quick.
Okay.
We were talking on a ride, about... KOMs and stuff like that, and in the time that I had that 14 days of free Strava, and I looked up my name for 55 and 60, whatever that cutoff is, and I couldn't believe how many I had. Then I started thinking,
you had 14 days of paid Strava, basically. You had the full open account.
The trial period. Yeah. 14. Yeah. So anyway, I looked it up, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of them. Then I thought, of all the people I used to race with, that brought me back in the 80s and stuff, no one's really doing what I'm doing. And it's sad, because I always look at, this is a sport you can do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about competitive spirit and stuff. Yeah. And nothing drives me more to ride my bike than bike racing. But I think I started thinking about people who dropped off. They were better riders than me, which is not too hard to accomplish.
See, but there he's doing
they
it
had
again.
A high no they have a higher kill ratio on races and stuff.
Pretty soon you're gonna have that devil on your shoulder. Just
no, I've lived with that.
No,
devil.
It's a slippery fucking
in the nose
slope,
every
man.
Once
yeah,
while, you know,
just
so.
Be careful.
But the thing is I made that decision when I had a chance to go to Europe and make my break, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is that once you hit a certain level. And it's hard to look back, and you brought up doing a VO2 max out at Eastern. And it's like, as old guys, you're like, oh, I know what my score was when I was 27. Yeah. I don't want to look at it now.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, and that's what happens with bike racing. The unfortunate thing is I think a lot of people aren't willing to go back because they were who they were back then. You're not going to be there. I'm not going to push the numbers. I'm not going to do... Racing.
You're not going to compete against 1-2s that are
no,
20 years old.
No, those days are over. And then I started thinking about Missoula. That was the first P12 race that I did since I was like 29 years old.
Nice.
I mean, a true.
And it was proper.
Yeah. So, but that didn't discourage me, you know. And it didn't beat my head with reality. I knew once I found out who they were, I'm like, oh, shit. But... that's unfortunate when I always make that joke that there's always next year, and that is cycling.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about racing and you're passionate about competition, I think this is a sport that, hey, just every year it's a new year, and just don't let that you're going to be fallen from grace. I just think that's an important thing about cycling. I think it's unique.
Agreed.
So don't worry about it if you're a Cat 2. And you're getting dropped by fours.
I just put self-adhesive bifocal sticky pads in my cool sunglasses because Jackson thought my other ones.
When we get old, though, we need to do that
as we age.
I will adapting.
I will defend myself to the T on this one. Dude, you said you no.
I'm not upset with you.
I know you said. You kept pushing me. I was like being super nice, and then you're like,
"Don't be nice. Tell me the truth. I need to know if I look like a dipshit or not."
You always look like a dipshit.
No.
If you want to know if you look,
dude, I
like
served
more
that up. I'm so glad you took it off the platter. Ball. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm just gonna defend myself on that one.
No, I was not upset, I'm glad you did that. And so, speaking of which, shit stick. Let's go to style points.
All right.
With Jackson Bulger.
Okay.
We're going to save the Waples to the end so we can edit them out.
So here we go.
Those are mean.
They're mean. See my power.
So we haven't gotten to the point yet. I do have pictures for you guys. If you really want them, just look them up.
Google them.
Just listen to them. Look
it up
on
your phone. I got to get you tied into the monitor so you can actually post them on the monitor.
It's all good. Anyways, so Ajay Duzer, Decathlon recently posted that they have a new season long jersey, and it is very starry, and I have pictures to show all of you, but we will get to that. First of all, we're going to talk about jerseys. So what's your favorite color? That's what my first question is. Sam Waples, what's your favorite color?
Navy blue.
Paul Main, what's your favorite color?
Green.
Is there a shade of green? Because that's a very...
Chartreuse to even olive green. I like greens.
Cool. Mm-hmm. David?
I was going to say olive green.
That's totally cool.
What? Mine's green. Mine's green, but I tend to be a little bit more of a lime green, but it is still a dark green.
Yeah. I olive to forest green. It's
holy
interesting.
Shit.
I find that as we age, we like green more. I will say.
Are not like the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Who's missing here? Who's the asshole?
Anyways, what's your favorite color to see on a cycling kit, Sam? You could say
navy. Blue. Navy blue.
Yeah. Sam? Or, excuse me, Paul?
Yeah, let's not get this too.
Oof.
Yeah. Take that back.
You don't see too much green, so it's a nice refreshing. I mean, blue reds are constantly done. I think they're not offensive, but I'd like to see some green in there.
Yeah. David?
It's going to be an unpopular opinion, but something about white kits always do it for me.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
Really?
They're clean.
Yep.
Like UAE.
Yep.
Pat Boulder.
It's hard for me because the spectrum goes so across the board, because you'll see, like, I remember the you want a quick answer.
It's all good.
I don't know why yellow pops into my head, because it's such a classic Flora? Cycling color.
We're just like that yellow behind you.
Yeah, kind of like that. I keep thinking of the of the Renault jerseys.
I do like a navy. I kind of like a black. I like a dark or a darker green as well.
Yeah.
I just want one word here: muted or color, Sam.
Muted.
Muted means like it's not subdued, very bright,
mellow.
Oh, muted for sure.
Okay.
This is a sport about advertising. Bright.
Yeah.
I am bright as well. And then this is the way to end it. So we have a lot of really weird kits this year. Yes. Let's be really honest about it. We do. do you like these kits? So we are going with hate or love.
Yeah.
So this is Ajay Duzer Decathlon.
The newest.
This is
one.
The new kit.
Yeah.
This is the very
they
galaxy.
They just changed it again.
I like their old one better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. It's a little white.
I'm going to go hate because I don't love it.
Okay.
You don't have to choose one.
Paul, love or hate?
Hate.
Okay. David?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I love it.
It looks like Israel Premier Tech is riding towards me, so I hate it.
I love it.
Do you?
I think it's cool. It's interesting. It's better than a black kit or the same kit than
last
year.
I think that if the sleeves are white instead of that like kind of pea green... mucusy green. I would have liked it more.
I didn't hate their old kit from 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm. We already done this EF Pro Cycling.
Love. Looking at some Palace.
I don't like the blend of the yellow in there.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. I think they really do a good job. I love it.
Uh-huh. They are marketing geniuses.
They are.
Love it.
Love it too.
Always have loved it.
Love.
Even when they have that kind of greenish shorts.
Albison DeCoinic.
Love.
We did not get to talk about this one.
No.
This is the tuxedo. Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, it's all
there.
Where Carrera.
These kids don't know the Carrera connection. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, that's, yeah.
At all.
That was the inspo.
I mean, I think it's classic.
It's clean.
So, yeah. I like it.
I don't hate it, but I don't love it just because it's been done. Yeah, and I understand it's a callback. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I love it because they're paying homage.
I hate it.
Yep.
I really hate it.
Yeah, me too.
You give me a look. We have three more, so we got to go quick.
Love it.
Nope.
Hate it.
David.
God,
Bora Hansgrohe.
Yellow and green, not digging it.
Bora Hansgrohe. Yeah, I don't like it. I liked it when I saw it in the studio, but I don't like it on the road.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Sam loves it. I hate it. Next is Visma Lisa Bike.
Love.
I don't like it.
Yellow and then just black.
Sam love. Paul hates. David.
Love it.
I love the simplicity of it, so I'm going to give it to him.
Yep. Fair. All right. We have our last one. Lidl Trek.
What the fuck? I think I hate it. Look,
I like the design, but I don't like the colors.
Yeah. Mm.
Too many colors in there. Yellow, white, red, blue.
So we have Sam, Paul, David. Really don't like it all. Hate?
No, I don't like it.
I love how it's a throwback to La Vie Claire, kind of a steel. It's almost Mondrian, which is cool. But I agree with Paul. I wish it was a different color scheme.
Mm. Best kit in the Pro Peloton.
Yeah.
Love it.
I agree. I do agree that it is the best kit. Behind EF first.
Mm. Okay.
No, EF.
EF Pro Cycling.
Okay, what's that?
I'm curious. Do you think that's also because it's a U.S. team?
Yeah, Sam.
Both are. Lidl Trek is also.
Since you're talking, let's fit tips with Sam. Tonight focuses on how much time we got. We got 10 minutes. We're good. Oval chain rings. They come and go. Last I recall, even though when I wrote this, I remember Carlos Sastre winning a Tour de France on oval chain rings. But then I started to think about the fact that Froome was a big oval chain ring guy.
And Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins was too.
Yep.
So we see him come and go, but we don't see them as predominantly. When you see the people who are firm believers in him, you think everybody's going to fall in line. What are the benefits and why aren't we all on them?
Love this. So, I think I can answer this pretty properly and without getting too nerdy. I am a big fan of these personally because of my height. And that's what we're going to get into. Because, for instance, I love Brad Wiggins. Dude's also really tall. Chris Froome, really tall, right? So a lot of the people that you see actually riding these in the Pro Peloton are taller riders. And it all has to do with leverage. Because if we go to the drive side of the bike, right, and we start looking at the crank, the oval is going to usually be, like, you know, horizontal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If the crank arm is straight up and down. Right. So let's just talk crank, like on the drive side, the crank arm is straight up. We call that top dead center.
Yeah.
Anything bike fit world. We're at a horizontal plate. You're going to have more force that you can put and for a longer stroke from that power point if you are rocking an oval chain ring. So for people that have really long levers, and we get into musculature and how complicated it is when you have, you know, long torque levers. It makes way more sense for somebody to be on an oval chain ring if you are, I'm going to say, I think the studies are somewhere around 6 foot and over. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I have a
question.
But
also,
I'm over six.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And so I do believe that, like, that and then also crank arm length are two adaptations that you can do for your height as an individual that can really be beneficial to your power. And I'm not going to say that it makes it easier. It just changes it for you and, like, where you are more efficient in your lever arm. Like, those two may play into it.
This is going to be for somebody who's really looking for performance base. This isn't going to be an average rider who's going to go out and say, I feel better.
Yeah, it's not gonna be like that. I mean, and but also it is like to me, like I have ridden on both. Now I've like switched my road bike, it is over to an oval chainring, and then I hop on my dad's steel bike that is the round, and I'm like, whoa, this is
really
different. And it's just it just takes off that when I'm in a fully hip compressed position, you know, where I'm at a big disadvantage, it makes it easier to get over that.
How about as for a spinner versus a gear basher?
So that's the big thing. I mean, personally, I think that a spinner is going to be more beneficial on an oval. Okay. And I think that a like a sprinter or a gear basher is going to be better off on a round.
Sticking around.
I know.
That's what I was going to ask, because I feel like we all have such different riding styles. I was going to say, does a sprinter have one over a climber?
And if you guys look at me ride, right, like I spin at a pretty high cadence and I just sit at a high, at a pretty high power for a long time. So like speaking into my efficiencies, like, an oval chainring works great for me. But if we like, if I were to be trying to be a sprinter, I'd probably want to work my way back into a round.
I gear bash. You can hear my knees from another county.
Same with him.
Finding myself hitting that way.
You need like the opposite. You need the oval that is like in a different form so that you can like just even spin slower, Paul. Like that's what you need.
That's what I did on the hills. That's when I slow down.
Oh my God. And finally, this bastard who gets his own intro. That's right. Listen to this.
I think you already played it, didn't you?
No, I didn't play this.
Another one.
No. We all get some music too. It's not all about you.
We don't get the curtain.
Although my
or the beeping
or the machine that goes ping.
I'm here.
Tonight's Ask Dr. David, and this was an interesting one, that a chance to use your psychological training, which I'm sure you spent a lot of time in psychiatry. Talk to me about the options of treating mental fallout after a bad crash. This isn't, you know, we live in a culture still, you know, I don't know if it's predominantly just US or not, but it's this, you know, suck it up mentality type of a thing. But getting back is a difficult process, physically and mentally. So that was the question that was posed to you. And I knew you had a little bit of time to think about it today, because I can only imagine I wouldn't even know how to this approach this, because it's such a individualized basis.
Yeah, it would be. Well, it's tough. And I think I want to focus on like crashes that happen in a race.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that I think most of us have probably experienced. And you know, I think the message I want to send with this, is that, you know, first of all, give yourself time to heal from the physical standpoint. You know, it's okay to take a couple days off if you're still hurting. Give yourself that time and space to heal, acknowledging that you probably, you know, hit the pavement with 2 millimeters of spandex on your body for protection and a styrofoam cup on your head. You know, like take that seriously. Give yourself time to heal. And again, just I think it's important to acknowledge and just normalize that you should feel a certain amount of fear when you get back on the bike. That's a healthy response. That's a protective response from the brain to something that you've just encountered. And it's your body telling you, let's not do that again. Let's try not to get hurt. And I think it's totally normal for a period of time to have some hesitancy with situations similar to the crash that happened. So if you were turning left, people will find like turning left to be more difficult. Like, hey, I'm not sure if my wheels are going to go out again, or I'm going to strike my foot, or whatever it was that caused your crash. That's normal. That's an adaptive mechanism from your brain trying to prevent this from happening again. That being said, it shouldn't go on for too long. You know, you should, after a couple of weeks, you should be back on the bike. Hopefully you should be training again, intermittently, probably running into somewhat similar scenarios and feeling a bit of anxiety about it. Because you're somewhat triggered by the fact that you did something similar a couple of weeks ago and it caused you to fall and get hurt. That's protective. At a month, at 2 months, 3 months further out than that, if you're still having trouble riding your bike because you're experiencing, you know, uncontrolled amounts of anxiety or fear that you're going to fall again, hurt yourself, again, not totally abnormal, but this is where you might consider reaching out for assistance moving on.
you know, you can start by talking to your doctor, or, you know, I think the culture around counseling nowadays, most people have a counselor. That's something that they can help you through. There's specific like acute traumatic stress syndrome therapies, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, it's not exactly a PTSD probably, mm-hmm. but your brain is undergoing a protective mechanism similar, where you're trying to avoid something that caused you harm in the past. So give yourself time and realize that you should be anxious for a couple of weeks afterwards. But repeatedly getting back on the bike, getting back on the horse, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. going through the motions, do it with friends, go on bike rides with friends, that sort of a thing. You know, train your body to realize that it's safe. You're not going to get hurt again. And if it's going on past a month or two, that's where I would probably encourage people to reach out, talk to somebody, figure out if there's something they can help you with. There's cognitive behavioral therapy. There's specific types of therapy that can help you work through those unhealthy adaptive mechanisms. Past 2 to 3 months, that's where we're going to say you shouldn't be having these feelings, and it's now unhealthy.
So odd how we have a culture where it's where mental health is treated almost as a weakness, and it's bizarre that either chemically you can't take care of something because you're thought of as weak, or you can't discuss it with somebody because you're thought of as weak, and it's just bullshit. I mean, the mental element of the whole thing. I joke around about my mental demons, but totally. But it's so ridiculous that we feel like that is a forbidden topic. I don't know if it's just this country or everywhere it is, but it's such
just
a
like any other injury. It's like you injure, it's like orthopedic, right? Yeah. In my world, it's like you injure something in your body. It's like you injured your ankle, weak.
Yeah.
Well, if
you know, it's like, what do you?
If you break or sprain your ankle, you can't completely expect that you're just going to naturally know how to heal that.
Exactly.
Right. If you undergo a significant mental insult, you can't expect that you will every single time know how to perfectly heal that on your own.
Yeah.
Yep.
There are times where you will need the assistance of somebody who's trained in it. Same with orthopedics.
Exactly.
And I also find that it's very important to say that there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
That phrase.
No.
I think is so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you just need a little bit of extra attention in an area that some might not. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you. Yeah. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Nope. I think everybody does. I just think that it's our culture that just decides that we don't do it. I think everybody can benefit from it.
Wow, that was heavy. We're going to end up with our final question, and I'm making the final question a time challenge now. Which means the final question is sponsored by our friend Lance at Emotive Audio Agency. And so we have our closing outro, and it's now a reminder for me to finally play the freaking outro. And so when I ask the question, everybody at this table has 1 minute and 19 seconds total.
Combined.
Yeah. Total.
I can do it.
Oh, we all.
No.
Combined.
Everybody has to finish this. It's a team effort, team time trial effort here to answer this question. So before I get to that, thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe to the way you prefer to be a part of the show, and drop us a rating when you feel you have the chance. So, gentlemen. What would you do if you were Chris Froome? Jackson.
Quit.
Retire.
You got time.
I think I'd probably smoke a blunt.
And then retire. Things
through. No. I think it's time to retire. Yeah. I'm flopping the wing here.
I think I'd do a bunch of physical therapy to try to fix whatever's going on with the back. You know, and like the pose, the spider pose on the bike. Yeah, I just focus on fixing all that.
I got it.
If he's still liking it, you can take that away. If he's still liking it.
I think he's got a fortune in a contract that he still has to fulfill, like $5 million or something like that.
This is his last year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would pick a race and call it the Tour de Froome and train like hell for it and make it a 1 week stage race and just go out like, hey, I won the Tour of Ireland, even though it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Other than that, there's no tour in.
And
there's
he crashed and hurt his wrist the last race.
He broke it.
Broke it?
Yeah.
In other words,
good night,
who
everybody.
Gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.
Yep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.